The CKLW incident could not have come at a better time. The station seemed to be lacking something, that magic ingredient that makes a radio station better than just good. The ratings of WKNR were up, and WXYZ was about to give up top 40 for some easy listening music. We talk with former CKLW DJ Mike Rivers about what it was like at CKLW then.
It was a little like working under Hitler that liked rock and roll music. I've worked under him at other stations too, but the program director's name was Paul Drew, and it was an interesting place to work. We played a heck of a lot of music, had a lot of fun, and I must say there's nothing like working for a station that is truly on top, as that one was just absolutely dominant, and I understand still is. We had a lot of fun and got a lot of good things done, met some really terrific people, and kind of gave me, you know, a good background to build on when I moved on here to Philadelphia.
Yeah, on with the power, on with your hitline request. Give me a ring, love, at 252-5555 Windsor or 964-9833 Detroit. Slap it on for you. Go to sack it to you with the impressions hitline requested from Detroit.
Detroit radio is totally unique. I don't know, there are a lot of markets that are much the same, but there's absolutely no way to go into Detroit and program a radio station as you would in any other market. I think Detroit can tolerate more humor, more topical material. People seem to enjoy probably more soul music than they do a lot of other places.
Motown sound! More power to you with more love. Do you believe in miracles? Sure you do. Smokey and Bunches right here on Mike Rivers Show. Come on, guys.
Mike Rivers. Then there was Jim Edwards, CKLW's energetic morning man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Edwards.
CKLW, the Motor City.
12 o'clock at the Big 8. Hello. Dearly beloved, we're gathered together on this auspicious occasion to get it on!
Detroit radio has gone through a real period of stagnancy. It's an unfortunate thing, but that happens with success. When you achieve a certain amount of success, it's so... tangible to hold on to that certain point of success that you've reached, and it's really hard to glean any higher barriers after that. But and Detroit delved into the specialty item radios, the underground music. Every station tried something that was a new endeavor, and yet what wasn't the major thing that the mass media had to have. And I admire the specialty stations because I think those things are the ones that educate the masses. To come around to this natural evolvement that's got to happen. The time is ripe. We all know that. The time is ripe. And I hope it happens because I love Detroit and I love Detroit radio.
CKLW.
At 12:16, I want you to consider the Motor Cities your happening place. On a Tuesday, a good news day. Baby, baby, baby. Here's Betty Swan and Don't You Dare Touch Me with Jim Edwards.
Jim remembers how much fun it was to work at the Big 8.
Working for CKLW had to be one of the most thrilling experiences that any person could ever encounter as far as a disc jockey career goes. The 3 years that I spent there were, believe me, with a lot of love. It was a time well spent. I worked with one of the most exciting guys I think most people ever get a chance to work with, Paul Drew. And I admire everything the man taught me, and I came to love Detroit. It's a funny city, you know. It's a city that a lot of people say, gee, it's dirty, it's filthy, it doesn't have the things that, it doesn't have the niceties of Philadelphia or Boston or New York or Los Angeles. But you know, there's a nostalgia about Detroit that very few other places have. And it's not my home, but I will always call it my home because it's one place that always will hold a warm spot in my heart. Someday I hope I get back there.
Jim Edwards, CKLW, hit bomb.
Here's Annie Lovett and a big, big song with a request for E-Course, getting on to experience.
We called two on Paul Drew, currently a program director in San Francisco, and questioned him about his magic formula.
Well, we uncluttered the sound and added much more music, placed commercials in certain positions, altered the approach to the news, changed a few disc jockeys, but I think we only made one change in the first 90 days and going from wherever the station was to first place, so that was not a critical factor, and just basically surveyed the market to find out what would go best to to get the maximum audience and put it into effect.
You call any old time.
CKW Motown Sound.
Dollar Weekend with the great hits of all time, presented by
CKW.
Are you listening to the solid gold sound of $1 Million Weekend? All weekend from
CKW. Motor City Weather.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
CKW, the Motor City.
By the way, in case you were wondering about Jim Edwards, he's with a New York City station now, using a different name.
Bob Evans for Johnny Donovan at 1:53 with a Vanity Fair. Thumbs up, we're hitching a ride. Bob Evans putting the stereo touch on some great solid gold at ORFM at 1:55 at 2 o'clock, and don't sleep in the subway.
Mr. Edwards was hired at CKLW through the help of Mike Rivers.
I first met Jim Edwards at a party. If anybody doesn't know, disc jockeys, especially in Detroit, get invited to a lot of parties. Parties put on by the record companies, promoting the appearance of their artists. And I was at a party once. Booker T and the MGs were promoting their new record, and they were to appear at a party. And I was there, and I was introduced to this very tall gentleman with a very deep voice and glasses and greasy hair. And I said, "Who are you?" And he says, "Hi, I'm Jim Edwards."
Jim Edwards, CKLW.
Giving it all we've got to keep you on the Big 8, the Motor City's pulsator.
And he says, "Gee, I sure would like to get a job at CKLW, man. I've always wanted to work at that station." And so I said, "Well, you know, I'll send a tape to the program director, and I'll put in a good word for you." And so he sent in a tape, and the program director says, "You know this guy?" I said, "Yeah, man, he's a terrific guy." And they hired him.
1209 at CKLW with Jim Edwards.
CKLW.
Today, CKLW is not as tightly formatted as it was in 1967 or 68 or even 69. But the ratings are not any lower. CKLW morning man and former program director Frank Brody says,
There are a lot of reasons why CKLW is and has been for the last number of years the number one station in Detroit. All due probably to the way it's programmed, the format, the way we do what we do, the fact that it's consistent. The same thing happens at the same time every hour. The music has contributed to a marketed extent because of the fact that the playlist has always been fairly tight. And when you don't play a lot of records, the records you do play are all hits. And that means you're not playing a bad record. You're not playing a record that is a dial-out factor. You're playing familiar records. Every time somebody turns on the radio, they know what they're going to hear when they listen to CKLW. You hear a lot of people complain about the fact that all our disc jockeys sound the same, which is probably music to the words of any program director, because that means the radio station that he's programming is consistent 24 hours a day.
Just ahead of much more music and Frank Brody. Cloudy and windy with periods of showers and thunder shower. The current temperature 58 degrees, Sarnia 58, Cleveland 61, Toledo 62. This is Randall Carlisle, 2020 News. Jeremiah the Bullfrog, all the boys and girls, Three Dog Night, a cast of thousands virtually on the Frank Brody Show. It's 8:51 CKLW Daylight Time.
I don't think the market's going to change unless somebody with an awfully good signal, and I'm talking about a 50,000-watt signal, decides they're going to either go middle of the road and spend a lot of money on hiring top disc jockeys and top music programming people, etc., salespeople, or they decide they're going to go rock, and they decide that they're going to give away four Cadillacs a month or whatever. I don't think anything's going to change in the market. It's going to be CKLW and WJR. There are always a lot of rumors about who's going to do what, but so far nobody's done it. What CKLW really needs right now, I think, even though we still are number one in the ratings, is competition.
Frank Brody, much of CKLW's success is certainly because of the type of music they play. We spoke to the person who has much to do with just what those folks play, Rosalie Trumbly, CKLW Music Director, and we found...
Now that I'm doing the music for CKLW, the most important thing in this market is playing the right R&B records when they break. Because if you don't, half of our audience is black. Therefore, if we play the right records, the pop-sounding, mainly, kind of records, we're going to keep that audience and even make it bigger, because they not only can hear the top white national records, I'm also playing the other records, and I don't care about national records because there's records in Detroit that break black that other radio stations across the country never play. But we do that here. And I think that's mainly where most of our ratings come from.
How has the music changed, Rosalie?
After a Close to You by the Carpenters, the trend in music went soft for about 4 to 5 months. Therefore, after a Carpenters, a James Taylor, an Elton John, a Perry Como, a Barbara Streisand, a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, we picked up all those middle-of-the-road audiences that when they punched a button from JR to CKLW, we were playing all that JR was playing.
Miss Trumbly has a word on what's happening to music today.
The trend is going up now. Now we're searching again, I guess maybe to have a Tom Jones or a Carpenters. Softer music to break up the up-tempo records that are coming out now. And this always happens in the summertime. Thank God the slower trend happens in your winter months, not when the kids are out of school.
Rosalie Trumbly, musical director at CKLW. Former DJ there, Charlie Van Dyke, who's currently in San Diego, says...
One of the compliments I would give Detroit over any other market I've ever been in my life is that they have probably the finest group of record promotion men I've ever worked with.
One of Michigan's best-known record distributors, Armin Beladian, talked about record exposure.
We've started, or I should say Detroit Radio has started a lot of records that have broken nationally, gone into the top 10, and I think that Detroit is one of the recognized cities as a breakout area. Promotion people have come into Detroit repeatedly with a hot dub or a hot record, and many times have gotten it off the ground, and it's gone into the top 10, become million sellers. WJBK was very, very influential, and WJLB, WCHB, and CKLW right now is doing great, great things over there. If they even catch wind that a record is happening or even sounds good, they'll put it on and give you a shot with it, which is more than what they're doing around the country. Everybody's waiting to see where a record is happening. And many times they'll go on a record after it's top 20 or top 30 in the country. And it's too late. Detroit's always been known as a good breakout area. There were disc jockeys in this city that knew how to break a record. I mean, they would get on the thing and play it, maybe back it up a little bit and play some more and create a little excitement. This is what I think everything is... Things are lacking right now is that maybe you just don't find the excitement that you did a few years back.
We asked Armin if it was different today.
There was at one time when if you wanted to get a record going, many times you would bring an act into Detroit and have them come in for a weekend. Like, for instance, Dionne Warwick started right here in Detroit. They sent her into Detroit with about 7 dubs, acetate records. Don't Make Me Over and I Smiled Yesterday. Well, we had her in town for the whole weekend and must have drove at least a good 1,000 miles making Wall Lake, and Dave Schaefer was down somewhere in the boondocks between Detroit and Toledo, and you had like 7 different spots to cover in the span of, let's say, 7:30 to 11 o'clock, and don't you dare be late. Otherwise, you know, it was all over. But I think that weekend, we kind of broke Dionne Warwick and found that Don't Make Me Over was the side of the record. And many times, this is how you did get something off the ground, by bringing an act into Detroit. Many times they would put the record on, plugging the fact that the artist was in town for the weekend, and it was a good chance to get something going. Now, you know, you can not only bring the artist in town, bring the president of the company in town, and many times it doesn't do any good.
CKLW's music director again, Rosalie Trumbly, feels a tighter playlist of records can be most beneficial.
I don't think we're competing with anyone at the present time. Most of the record men that I deal with have always said, expose more records. They don't realize that the shorter the playlist, and it's been proven with the Drake format, the shorter your playlist, the more exposure to maybe those three new records you put on. You chart those records instantly. As of the 17th of January of this year, CKLW was asked via the Canadian government, as well as all the other Canadian radio stations, that they had to program 30% Canadian content. We've been successful. We forced a good many American markets. I just delivered one, two, three, four national Canadian records out of the Detroit market. I'm not saying I would have programmed these records unless I knew I had to. So therefore, you pick and you put the best on. This gives me a lengthier playlist, although this extra list that is comprised of Canadian product is not listed. But we find ourselves with exposing maybe four or five new records that way, where there's no big splash made about them. We're getting hits off of that list. And we're forcing stations in the Detroit market who said, well, they're only playing it because it's Canadian, which is true. I agree with them, but a hit is a hit. When you put on one of those Canadian records and the shops call and your listeners call and find that they can't get the record because when the shops and the kids out there buy our list and those records aren't mentioned, but they hear them on the radio, they're forcing the shops, other radio stations via their request line to play those records.
The station's program director, Alden Deal, feels Detroit is the big record breakout town.
It is certainly well known in the music industry, for instance, that Detroit is one of the two most important breakout areas in the nation for records. In other words, if a song makes it in Detroit, the odds are very good that it'll make it nationally. We've become a giant hit.
Deal says what CKLW needed was some good competition.
Keener competition is good for the Big Eight, as it's good for any radio station in any format in this market or any other market. The feeling in the radio industry in Detroit and this, as a matter of fact, in many other areas in the U.S., was last summer and early fall that when the Big Eight had to conform to the new regulations which had been set forth for Canadian broadcasting, that these new rules would actually force the demise of the giant, and that he would fall gradually asleep and drift off down the river and leave the entire Detroit, Toledo, and Cleveland market to those radio stations who felt that they could better serve it. As a point of fact, when the Drake organization ceased connection with CKLW, last fall, they chose to sign immediately and program WJR-FM. And I feel that they were confident that the same kind of programming concepts, although they altered and for FM, would certainly make an impact in the market. And I feel that many people felt that way. But the facts have proven that the Big Eight has not gone away and died. We didn't turn our tower around. We didn't reduce power. The building still stands. And the big beat and the sound of the Big Eight continues to emanate from the tower into Detroit, into Toledo, into Cleveland, down through the Midwest states. As a matter of fact, through the same 28 states we were broadcasting into before, including New York City. and the beat goes on.
Number one then, and number one now.
More music, CKLW.
1209 at CKLW with Jim Edwards.
CKLW.
1959, this was the number one song from Anita Bryant, Till There Was You.
Dick Booth, program director at WJR-FM, with his opinion of CKLW.
I would say Detroit has the most powerful, most successful, best-sounding rock and roll radio station in the country until recently. Being CKLW, probably, if it wasn't the best-sounding, it sure had one of the most tremendous signals in the country. And that coupled with the very clean, very forward, straight sound of Drake and the good jocks that they had, a reasonably good jocks that they had, made it just fantastic station.
Former CKLW newsman Don Patrick.
CKLW was a very good news station when I was there. We had some young guys and we had some older guys in the business who knew the business, and we had some young guys who were hustlers. And I think we did a darn good job at that time. We had a fairly good-sized news department. We had some concerned people who liked to go out and dig and get stories. We had people who sounded good on the air. We were a number one rated radio station. That goes for news as well as music. We were number one. I don't think too many people beat us at that time news-wise. We were pretty well on top of everything, and I don't remember ever missing a major story. I remember being first on a lot of them. We won numerous awards, which I'm quite proud of. I won personal awards there. The department won awards, and we did a pretty good job. And I'm quite proud of my experience at CKLW. I enjoyed working there. It was very hectic, and it was a very trying job and a very very difficult job to do, because we were pushed quite a bit, because we had people in programming who were quite concerned about the radio station, wanted it to be number one, didn't like mistakes, and liked for everything to be as good as possible.
It's 20 minutes before 6. This is Don Patrick, CKLW 2020 News.
Few people will forget the night that a very upset hockey fan cut one of the guy wires that held up CKLW's massive tower. One of those who won't soon forget, former CKLW morning man Charlie Van Dyke.
I was sitting in my apartment one night, enjoying some female company and a glass of wine, and the phone rang. It was Scott Regan. He said, "Well, they've cut the line. They've cut the line." So I figured they meant the program line. So I turned on the radio and everything sounded right. I said, "No, man, you're still on the air." And he says, "No, man, the line to the tower. The tower is falling down." You could actually see this horrendously huge guy-wired tower leaning at a tremendously noticeable angle right over the top of the building. It was leaning so much, as a matter of fact, that if you stood with your back to the building and your face to the tower and looked straight up, you couldn't see the top of it because it was leaning that far over the building.
CKLW radio and television were knocked off the air this evening when one of the steel guy wires mooring the 600-foot television antenna was cut, apparently with a hacksaw.
Which was kind of frightening. Well, then, of course, all the engineers showed up, and police and firemen and all that kind of thing. And they evacuated all of the area, and we asked the chief engineer how much wind the tower could withstand with this particular wire down, and he said about 23 miles an hour, and then we realized that the wind was currently blowing at 18 miles an hour. Then we ran to Scott Regan and said, "Scott, put on the long album and get out of here. The tower's falling down. There'll be 23 tons right over your chair if you don't move." And he says, "I can't go now, man. I just called for a contestant." So he sat there, played a whole record, did a whole contest, and then out of the contest, put on the Beatle album. And we're driving, I think, 23 miles it is to Harrow, where the transmitter is. So we're not even really outside the city limits of Windsor yet, and the record starts hitting the grooves at the end.
The upper portion of the tower, directly behind the station's studios on the Windsor waterfront, was in danger of falling onto the building. All staff members in the building were evacuated, as were people in residences nearby, forcing the three stations, CKLW Television, AM, and FM, to sign off the air.
So we drove all the way out to the transmitter, and finally got in by hook or by crook. I think we had to jimmy the lock because nobody had a key.
Actually, what we were intending to do, ladies and gentlemen, at record-breaking speed, in case a police officer is listening, at exactly the limits, we came out here equipped with records, with a microphone, and we were all set to entertain the troops as though nothing had happened. However, we forgot one important problem, and that is a turntable that works. Can I demonstrate the equipment that we have here with us tonight? Now, if my engineer, Colin, will crank up this thing. It has a dog sitting here staring at the speaker. I don't understand what that means.
We had only one turntable out there and a mic. Well, the turntable hadn't been used since the building was first constructed, I don't think. So, of course, all the 45s were running at the wrong speed. And we had no center adapter, so they were also off-center and at the wrong speed. So it was an incredible sound we were putting out with no card machines, no jingles. The mic wouldn't turn it off. There were wonderful things happened that night.
Someone has now cranked this up. You're going to have to crank harder, Colin. You see, the turntable is running just a bit on the slow side. CKLW Chief Engineer Stu Clark said the tower is designed to withstand 90-mile-an-hour winds, even when the tower is coated with ice. With the severed guy wire, he said he estimated that the tower could withstand 25-mile-an-hour winds. Fortunately, the winds this evening are very light.
He asked if anybody around who lived near Harrow had a hi-fi set they could lend us. So this kid comes in from Harrow bringing a hi-fi system with a changer, so we operated the entire station for a number of hours just with a microphone and a changer.
We're very thankful and grateful that we have people such as Charlie Van Dyke and others who have pitched in this emergency situation and have kept us on the air with something anyway.
And one of the most incredible things was that right in the middle of all of this, we see these two lights flipping through the thick fog there was that night, and a car comes pulling up beside the transmitter building, and it was Dick Smythe, who was director of CK at the time, Dynamite Pro guy, and he comes running in with all this wire copy and a cassette tape recorder and runs into the chief engineer's office, slams the door, and starts rewriting a newscast to run at 11:40. So here we are in the middle of all of this chaos, and Dick Smythe comes on and does one of the finest newscasts he's ever done.
It's 20 minutes before 12. This is Dick Smythe, CKLW 2020 News.
2 minutes past 11 o'clock. This is what remains of CKLW, and at the moment, my boss is down on his hands and knees trying to repair equipment. And I believe some of the repairs are now completed. We're going to try to play the same song which you enjoyed so much a moment ago. This is... And I hope you enjoyed it again. It was really a thrilling rendition. That was Mercy and Love Can Make You Happy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Love Can Make You Happy by Mercy. A song I think we're all going to enjoy over and over again.
Called Cheer in Leamington and asked them if we could use their mobile truck, which had a studio in the back of it. And they... agreed. So I took quite a while in the middle of all that fog for the guys to drive all the way from Leamington. And so here, after a number of hours, we've been carrying on, and another set of headlights pierced through the fog and pulled up beside the transmitter building. And just as the poor guys from Cheer in Leamington, after this horrendously long drive in the middle of the fog, come running in, pulling their wires to hook up and everything, at that moment, we went back to broadcasting from the station again.
We now take you back to the main studios of CKLW at Windsor for the Steve Hunter Show.
O'Brien looked over at the guys from Cheer and said, "Hey, man, I really appreciate the drive. Thanks a whole bunch, but we don't need it now." And those four guys just about died.
Our music, CKLW.
I knew it would happen sooner or later. And there it is. Martha and the Vandellas, little hotel stuff, the Big Eight. We've got Honey Love at 12:39 on the Steve Hunter Show.
Finally, when Steve Hunter went back on the air, he was doing the all-night show then. It's about 12-something or another. And then we, of course, all packed up our gear and went back in. I drove over to the wire that had been cut and saw this winch that they had attached to it to hold it up and realized, of course, that was the only thing standing between me and the tower on the chair that I was going to sit in.
We'll take a listen to the personality of the unformatted formats and hear some comments about Detroit's easy listening stations and the upcoming segment of Detroit Radio, Then, Now, and Tomorrow.